ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 69 नारद विजिट्स कृष्णस पैलेसेस टेक्स्ट 16 संपूज्य देवऋषि वर्जम ऋषि पुराणो नारायणो नरसखो विधिनोदितेन वाण्याभिभाष्य मितयामृत मिष्टया तं प्राहो प्रभो भगवते करवाम हे किम् संपूज्य देव ऋषि वर्जम ऋषि पुराण नारायणो नरसखो विधिनोदितेन वाण्याभिभाष्य मितयामृतमिष्टया तं प्राहो प्रभो भगवते करवामहे किम् संपूज्य देव ऋषि वर्जम ऋषि पुराण नारायणो नरसखो विधिनोदितेन वाण्याभिभाष्य मितयामृतमिष्टया तं प्राहो प्रभो भगवते करवामहे किम् संपूज्य देव ऋषि वर्जम ऋषि पुराण नारायणो नरसखो विधिनोदितेन वाण्याभिभाष्य मितयामृतमिष्टया तं प्राहो प्रभो भगवते करवामहे किम्
Thank you.
ದೇವ ರಿಷಿ ಈ ಪುರಾಣ ನಾರಾಯಣೋ ನರಸಖೋ ವಿಧಿನೋದಿತೇನ ವನ್ನಾಭಿಭಷ್ಟಮೃತಯಾಮೃತಮಿಷ್ಟಯತಂ ಪ್ರಾಹೋ ಪ್ರಭೋ ಭಗವತೆ ಕರುವಾಹೇ. ಮಾತಾಜಿ, ಋಷಿ ವೈದ್ಯ ಋಷಿ ಪುರಾಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ
ಸಂಪೂಜ್ಯ ಫುಲ್ಲಿ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ಪಿಂಗ್ ದೇವ ಅಮಾಂಗ್ ದ ಡೆಮಿಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ರಿಷಿ ದ ಸೇಜ್ ಬರ್ಯಂ ಗ್ರೇಟೆಸ್ಟ್ ರಿಷಿ ದ ಸೇಜ್ ಪುರಾಣ ಪ್ರೈಮವಲ್ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ನಾರಾಯಣ್ ನರಸಖ the friend of Nara, Bidhina, by scripture, Uditena, enjoyed, Bhyanya, with speech, Abhibhashya, conversing, Mitaya, measured, Amrita, with nectar, Mishtaya, sweet, tam, him, Narada, praha, he addressed, prabhu, O master, bhagavate, for the Lord, karavama, we may do, he, o, kim, what. Translation by Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu and his team, our God brother, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. After fully worshipping the great sage of the demigods, according to Vedic injunctions, Lord Krishna, who is himself the original sage, Narayan, the friend of Nara, conversed with Narad, and the Lord measured speech was as sweet as nectar. Finally, the Lord asked Narada, "What may we do for you, our Lord and Master?" Please repeat after me. After fully worshipping the great sage of the demigods, according to Vedic injunctions, Lord Krishna, who is himself the original sage Narayan, the friend of Nara, conversed with Narada, and Lord's measured speech was as sweet as nectar. Finally, the Lord asked Narada, "What may we do for you, our Lord and Master?" Purport. In this verse, the word Narayana Narasakaha indicate that Krishna is himself the Supreme Lord Narayan, who appeared as the friend of the sage Nara. In other words, Lord Krishna is Rishi Puranaha, the original and supreme spiritual master. Nevertheless, following the Vedic injunctions, Bidhino Ditena, that a kshatriya should worship the brahmanas, Lord Krishna happily worshipped his pure devotee, Narad Muni. Sampujya Deva Rishibarjam Rishi Purano Narayano Narusakho Vidhino Ditena Bannabhi Bhashya Mitayam Ritamishtayatam Praho Prabho Bhagavate Karabamohe Kim. After fully worshipping the great sage, after worshipping the great sage of the demigods, according to the Vedic injunctions, Lord Krishna, who is himself the original sage Narayana and the friend of Nara, conversed with Narada, and the Lord's measured speech was as sweet as nectar. Finally, the Lord asked Narada, "What may we do for you, our Lord and Master?" So, this chapter is describing Narad Muni's visit to Krishna's palaces. Krishna's palaces in Dwarka. Krishna just killed Narakasura and released the 16,000 princesses that were kept in captivity by Narakasura. So all those 16 girls approached Krishna after they were freed from imprisonment. They said that, "Look, we have been imprisoned by Narakasura, so no one is going to marry us. So why, please marry us. I mean, you are our only hope. You rescued us, so now you save us from this ultimate calamity." So Krishna said, "Fine." So that's how Krishna got married to 16,000 queens. There's another aspect of this incident. When Krishna expands, along with Krishna, Krishna's eternal consort, Radharani also expands. So, when Krishna expanded into Vasudev, when Brajendranandan Krishna expanded into Vasudev, that is Krishna of Dwarka, then Radharani expanded as Satyabhama. And Rukmini, or rather Chandravali, expanded as Rukmini. And all the 16,000 gopis of Vrindavan, they expanded as the queens. In Vrindavan, they were not married. But in Dwarka, they got duly married. So when Narad Muni got the news, so he was curious how Krishna is dealing with 16,000 queens. So he became curious to know, and he came to Dwarka. And this is the description how Krishna received him. This is the first palace that Narad Muni went. This was actually the palace of Rukmini. And Krishna greeted Narad Muni. And in this context, another aspect of Krishna's pastimes coming, that is, here Krishna has been addressed as Nara Sakhe, the original Rishi, who is the friend of Nara. That is, Nara and Narayan. This, the Lord Himself and His devotee as one. Nara Narayan. They appeared as the son of Dharma. Dharma, that is, Dharmaraj, Jamraj, got married to Murti, the daughter of Daksha. And so, actually, at that time, there was a terrible demon who was causing a lot of distress to the people. We notice that Krishna's pastimes are like a great drama. Great pastimes are like a drama. And drama must have conflict. Better the conflict, better the drama. So in order to create the conflict, there is a villain. So Krishna comes to deal with the villains. So Krishna came as Lord Nrisimhadev when he had to deal with Hiranyakashipu, the villain. These villains cause a lot of distress to the people. And at that time, Krishna comes. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. This duskritam, these villains, the demons, they create the torment, the trouble, the devotees. So, to get rid of them and to protect his devotees, Krishna comes, sambhavami, yuge yuge. I come from time to time. So, there was a big demon. So, this was actually long time ago, during the time of Sayambhubha Manu. That means, just the creation actually began in the universe. In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And the first Manu is Sayambhubha Manu. Sayambhubha Manu. The Manu who is the son of Sayambhu, Lord Brahma. The first Manu came from Brahma. From his right hand side came Manu, and from Brahma's left hand side appeared Shatarupa. So Manu and Shatarupa are the first male and female, first man and woman. And from Manu and Shatarupa, the human beings came, Manava, Manu's offsprings. So therefore Manavas, just like Danu's offsprings, Danavas. So Manavas, human beings are we, men are Manu's offsprings. Prior to that, all the personalities in the universe came from Brahma directly, mainly from his mind and from different aspects of his body. Just Manu and Satarupa came from Brahma's body. And so in this way, different personalities are actually coming from Brahma. This is how the procreation was taking place. The procreation through couple or copulation started from Manu and Shatarupa. Prior to that, it was all Manasaputras or different aspects of Brahma, like Brahma's shadow became Kardamuni. Anyway, so it happened right at that time. There was a very powerful king. His name was Dambhodbhava. Dambhodbhava, who appeared from pride. So you can say pride personified. So pride personified, is it a divine aspect or is it a demoniac aspect? So he was a demon. And what do the demons actually want? The demons want to become immortal. Like Hiranyakashipu wanted to become immortal. And in order to become immortal, he went to the Mandara mountain and performed such severe austerity to please Brahma and become immortal. But did he succeed? So demons try to become immortal, and therefore they perform great austerities and penances just to become immortal. But when they don't succeed, they try some other means to become immortal. So this demon was performing severe austerity to please sun god, Surya Dev. So being pleased by his austerity, this Surya Dev came to him and said, so what do you want? He said, I want to be immortal. He said, look, how can I give you that bolt? Even I am not immortal. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityur. One who is born is bound to die. Whoever comes to this material nature must die, because he comes here by taking birth. Everyone comes to this material nature by taking birth, and he has to die. Except the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he thought, okay, fine, he won't give me this boon. So let me get a boon that will make me immortal. So this description is in Vishnu Puran. So he said, okay, then give me the boon. Give me 1,000 armors, kavachas. Kavacha means armor. To penetrate through the armor, one has to perform 1,000 years of austerities. And then he'll have to fight with me for 1,000 years. And then he'll be able to penetrate through one armor. And then as he does that, he will die. So he thought in this way, he'll become immortal. So Surya Dev said, he could see that this guy is a demon. But still, they get kind of duty bound when somebody performs great austerity and they come. One of the conditions is that whatever they want, they have to grant that, you know, if it is within his means. So Surya Dev said, okay, fine, tathastu, let it be. Then he became so powerful. And what do the demons do when they get such power, almost becoming immortal? They simply torment people, create disturbance in the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the demons are also identified as Indra-ari, Indrasya-ari, Indra's enemy. You see, the demigods are actually Krishna's arrangement, Vishnu's arrangement. Like, there is a different departments in the universe, and they are appointed by the Lord Himself. They're His appointment. Like, our organization structure is made, giving different responsibilities to different individuals. So there are different departments, and the demigods are in charge of those different departments. Like fire department, Agni Dev, wind department, Pavan Dev, water department, Varun Dev, education department, Saraswati Devi. So these devas and devis are actually appointed by the Lord to take care of different departments of the universe. And head of those devas and devis is Indra, the king of the demigods, Devaraj. So they simply create disturbance in this arrangement. They want to take over the control. And that is wrong, because Lord's arrangement is that they are going to be in charge. And when somebody tries to take away that power from them, he simply creates a disturbance in the society. So seeing that condition, Murti, she desired that someone should take care of this. So she prayed to the Lord. And as a result of that, the Lord came and asked, what do you want? And she said that, look, this demon, Sahasrakavaji, he had another name, the one with 1,000 armors. He is causing so much distress to the demigods and to the arrangement that you have made, so please do something. The Lord said, okay, I will come as your son. And as a result of that, the Lord appeared as a twin, Nara and Narayan, as the son of Murti from Dharma. And in due course of time, there was a conflict, he was plundering everybody and destroying everything. So in this way, he came to Badarik Ashram, where these two personalities were residing. Naranara and Rishis are still there in Badarik Ashram. So came and so Nara then came out, and the demon was just outraged to see him kind of standing in front of him in a kind of a challenging mood, telling him to stop what he was doing. And he responded that no one ever dared to tell me to stop what I want to do. He said, maybe, but I'm telling you to stop. He said, you insignificant human being, what can you do to me? He said, okay. So let's see what this insignificant human being can do. So he said, you know that I have the boon from Surya Dev, that this 1,000 armors that I am wearing, each armor will fall when one performs 1,000 years of austerities. Have you done that? He said, no, I'm not doing it, but my brother is doing it. Then he said, fine, then you'll have to fight with me for 1,000 years. He said, okay. And then he will die. He said, fine, I'm prepared for that. And so in this way, the conflict actually took place. Nara was fighting, Narayan was performing austerity. 1,000 years of fight went on. And then one armor was destroyed. But as soon as the armor was destroyed, he became unconscious. Nara apparently died. So at that time, this demon, Sahasrakavacha, he saw that again that personality is coming. He saw one person is dead, and the other person is walking towards him. Then he saw that the other person didn't really, other Nara did not really go to him, but went to Nara's dead body. And he chanted some mantra, and he came back to life. So he said, now you go and perform austerities, and I'll deal with the demon. So, this is how again the fight ensued, while this time Narayan is fighting and Nara was performing austerities. What happened after 1,000 years? The second armor fell. But this time, apparently, this is Lord's pastimes, Narayan died. And Nara came this time and chanted the Mrita Sanjeevani mantra and revived him. So this time, Narayan went and performed austerities and Nara fought. So this way, for 999 times it went on. And when he was left with just one armor, he ran away. He felt that, well, I'm in trouble. He ran away and took shelter of his worshipable deity, Surya Dev. So, Narayan went chasing him and told Surya Dev, look, this is an imposter. So let him lose. He is hiding behind you. So Surya Dev said, look, he is my devotee and it's my duty to protect my devotee. So Narayan Rishi became so upset. He said that since you are protecting a person who is sinful and disregarding my order, you will be born as a human being along with your devotee. And now you know who is that personality? Karna. Yeah. And he was born with a kavacha, the armor. And this time, Nara and Narayan, according to Mahabharata, Nara and Narayan came as Krishna and Arjun. Arjun and Krishna. Nara became Arjun, Narayan is Krishna. This is one aspect. Like Krishna performs his pastimes and many wonderful things happen at the same time. So Krishna performed Krishna. But Krishna is not just not incarnation of Nara Narayan. Krishna in this incarnation is Swayam Bhagavan. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So this Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan Krishna who resides in Vrindavan. Anyway, so Nara Narayan also that way, and one aspect of Krishna. All the incarnations are in Krishna's body. So Narayan became Krishna and Nara became Arjun. And in this incarnation, now one problem was that Arjun is meant to kill Karna. But Indra was worried that when he would kill him, then he will die. So that's why Indra went in disguise as a Brahmana and asked for his armor. And Karna, because that's why Karna has a split personality. In one hand, he is very generous. But on the other hand, he is extremely demoniac. That generous aspect, the noble aspect of Karna is Surya. Surya's incarnation. And the other aspect is this Dambhodita aspect, Sahasra Kavacha. So that is why Indra actually took away his Kavacha. Therefore this time, and he gave that kavacha back to Surya Dev. And that is why Arjun could kill Karna without being affected. So this way we can see that how all the Vedic, the descriptions of Lord's pastimes are so well connected. So that's why we can see that they are not just some fairy tales or, as they say, mythology. It's a pity that it is considered, these Vedic descriptions are considered to be mythology. The word mythology comes from the root word myth. What is the definition of myth? Definition of myth is commonly believed false, commonly believed falsity. It's not real, but people believe that this happened or something. Like fairy tales. It's commonly believed falsity. It's not true. It's untrue, unreal. But the Vedic narrations are not only true, but they are absolute truth. Vedas are dealing with absolute truth. There is no room for falsity in the Vedas. Vedas are dealing with absolute truth. It's only after coming to ISKCON, being taught by Srila Prabhupada's teachings, being taught by Srila Prabhupada, we get to know what the Vedas are presenting. Otherwise in India, everybody thinks, oh, mythology. These are all mythology. Mahabharata, Ramayana, Puranas, Upanishads, they all are mythical, mythology. And that is the unfortunate state of affairs in India. The British left India but completely crippled India's thought-thinking process. What is considered to be the greatest spiritual wealth of this world, Indians are totally disregarding that. That is the most unfortunate aspect of India today. Fortunately, Srila Prabhupada is reminding us what is what. And as a result of that, we are getting to know what is what. So Naranarayan Rishis are still there in Badrinath. Badrika Ashram, we can see since time immemorial, it has been considered to be one of the holiest of all places. It's not today that it is recognized as a holy place, since the beginning of creation practically. And is still being worshipped, still being recognized as one of the holiest of places. They go to visit, millions they are visiting Badrikashram, but they think it's all mythology. Like this is the unfortunate state of affairs. That's why there's such a need to preach this message. There is such a need for preaching, meaning educating people about the actual knowledge, about the actual wisdom. Don't consider that the Vedic culture is some primitive, obsolete, superstitious activities. No. Vedic culture is the highest spiritual culture that the world has ever seen. The world will... This is the real spiritual culture that was given by Krishna himself to Lord Brahma at the time of creation. And that has been cultivated by the saintly personalities since time immemorial. And it's covering all different aspects of life. Starting from not only the spiritual culture, not only how to fulfill our desires by performing different activities or different yajnas, sacrifices, but it's dealing with the practical aspects of life. Like astrology, Jyotirvidya, Jyotish, Ayurveda, Jyotirveda, Ayurveda, even military art, Dhanurveda. So all different aspects of knowledge is covered. Initially they're covering only the materialistic aspect of the knowledge, but then it is leading us to Gyanakanda. From Karmakanda, materialistic aspect, it is leading to the knowledge aspect. Enjoyment aspect to knowledge aspect. And this knowledge aspect is leading to liberation. And beyond liberation, the final concept of the Vedas is loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which has been covered by Uttar Mimamsa, the final conclusion, Vedanta Sutra, and the Bhashyam Brahma Sutrana. The natural commentary of Brahma Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, the ultimate culmination of the Vedic wisdom is Srimad Bhagavatam. Transcending the Karmakanda section, Gyanakanda section, it is coming to Bhagavad Bhakti. And Krishna himself is saying, Vedaischa Sarvair Ahameva Vedya. In all the Vedas, I alone am to be known. So what is the purpose of the Vedas? Vedanta Krit Vedavi Devachaham. Krishna is the ultimate object of the Vedas, and when we get to know Krishna, then what is the natural consequence? The natural consequence is to fall in love with him, because he's all attractive. When someone is attractive, what happens? Don't you naturally fall in love with that person? So Krishna is all attractive. So can anybody help but not fall in love with Krishna? So it's only a matter of becoming aware of who he is, becoming aware of his qualities, becoming aware of his activities. That's why it's so important to listen to Krishna's activities. Because he's the greatest of the heroes, and it's a natural affinity, natural tendency of a living entity to worship the heroes. Living beings are hero worshippers, and the greatest of all the heroes is Krishna. Therefore, the ultimate object of worship is Krishna. So from whichever way we approach, it'll come to that. Ultimate goal of life is to worship Krishna. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Does anybody have any question or comment? Oh yeah.
Hare Krishna. That's so nicely you have described about the Narayan Rishis and the mythology, how when spiritual culture leads one through materialistic life to Jnana aspect and then from there to liberation and then Uttar Vimamsa. So I was just thinking this Purva Vimamsa and Uttar Vimamsa, wherein there are different Rishis which Vyasdev finally gives the different parts of the Vedas to different Rishis. So we see that Uttar Vimamsa to Ashtavakra, and then Purva Mimamsa to Jaimini Rishi. And Prabhupada in his books mentions that how this different Rishis, they accept the Vedanta, all other Rishis, they are, how they are misguiding. But I also see that Sanatana Goswami, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they mentions how Jaimini Rishi, he is conveying to Janmejaya. And there he mentions about this devotional aspect. And even Janmejaya says that, you know, this devotional aspect of given by Jaimini Rishi is much better. In fact, he says about the supplementary Mahabharata which was given by Vyasdev. He says that Jaimini, what he has given us is a much devotional aspect, and we go through all this. So how do we understand the position of a Jaimini Rishi?
Well, he's a devotee. But the thing is that Mahabharata is dealing with the Karmakanda aspect of the Veda. Mahabharata is not directly leading to devotion. Actually, to understand Mahabharata, we have to come to Srimad Bhagavatam. Arthoayam Brahma Sutranam Bharatartha Binirnayam. The artha, the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam is being established by Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, the meaning of Mahabharata is being established by Srimad Bhagavatam. So until and unless we come to Srimad Bhagavatam, the understanding of the Vedas will remain incomplete. And we have to consider that all these different aspects, like say for example, the six branches of Shad Darshan, six branches of philosophy, they're different rungs of a ladder. Different processes are different rungs of the ladder. Whether what is the purpose of the ladder? Are the rungs of the ladder the goal? Or the purpose of the ladder is to reach the top? So the purpose of all these different aspects of philosophy and different rituals and so forth is simply to bring one to the ultimate point. Then only we find the real purpose of the ladder.
Hare Krishna. So are these authors of the Shad Darshans, were they aware of the final goal? Or just like Shankaracharya was informed by Krishna himself, Vishnu, that you preach in this the theory of impersonalism. So
no, that was different. Shankaracharya's mission was different from these rishis. We can say that they may know or may not know. They may know or may not know, but from the presentation it is difficult to make out, because they are like a teacher. When he goes to the primary school, what does he teach? He is giving it to the primary children, primary school children, according to their ability to accept it, understand. Right? He may be a PhD, but he is giving it for according to their ability to grasp. Alright? So it is not really important for us whether they know or they may not know, or whether they know or they do not know. Like even about Vasudev, it has been said, Vyasa Vetti Navettiva. Vasudev may know or he may not know. Right. But our business is to accept the presentation when it is perfectly understandable and acceptable. That's why our goal is to accept it the way Sukadeva Goswami presented it. Do you have a question? Yeah, and then I'll take Mataji's. Somebody raised the hand here. Oh yeah, okay. I'll take your question afterwards.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. Maharaj, we are seeing here how Lord Krishna is a Supreme Lord, but he appears as a twin brother of a Jiva, Arjun, just for helping us kill Sahasrakavach, otherwise Sahasrakavach would have continued. So many times we see how Krishna's compassion makes him forget his position as actually the Supreme Lord, the fountainhead of all incarnations, and he extends himself again and again in different incarnations just so that the human beings can live properly a life of dharma and then go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna is so much into helping us, but somehow I feel I have not developed the necessary gratitude for what he has given to us and is still giving me. And you know, he'll continue to give. So can you please tell me, Maharaj, how to develop gratitude for whatever I have received? Even from Krishna's representatives, I have received so much, but I always fall short of having proper gratitude. So how do we understand this, and how can I develop gratitude for those who are helping me?
Okay. Thank you. Very nice question. How to develop the attitude of gratitude? Like, you see, these are the cultivation of certain qualities. Like, to be grateful. When somebody does something to you, and if you are an honest person, what will be a natural reaction? So your natural reaction will be that you will feel indebted to him. Oh, you have done so much for me. So these are the divine qualities that are there. And these divine qualities will develop by practicing Krishna consciousness. Now, jashasti bhaktir bhagavat takinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasati sura. When one develops Krishna consciousness, when one develops bhakti, jashasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana, so unmotivated, undeviated, unmotivated devotion to the Lord, then all the divine qualities of the demigods will automatically become manifest in him. So again, you know, the way is to practice devotional service. And the way to practice devotional service in this age is simply to chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. And it will happen. Automatically it will happen. The process, like Prabhupada used to give the example, the disease is there, medicine is there. Take the medicine, disease will disappear. Right? So our medicine is Hari Hari Nam. Chanting Hare Krishna, practicing the Navada Bhakti. And the result will be there. Result will be there. Not only gratitude aspect will develop, all divine qualities of the demigods will become manifest. Thank you. Yes, Mataji. Yeah, take the mic. I can hear you, but others cannot.
I heard Manushya Yoni is the highest yoni, 84 lakhs.
Yeah.
And we are lucky, we all are lucky, we get the Manushya Yoni.
Yeah.
So I want to, what is the highest state of this yoni? Ki, every day we have a test, every day, up and down comes, like in a sea. In the mind. Mind is like a sea. Up and down, coming, going, every day. I have a test. But what is the highest state ki if my mind is always in peace and never, you know, tense or stress? What is the highest state of mind? If my mind is peace, yeah, always, whatsoever.
Okay, very good point.
So, yeah.
So,
thank you.
The human form of life is the highest. Labdha sudur labhamidang bahu sambhavanti. Srimad Bhagavatam is describing that after many, many possibilities, bahu sambhavanti, labdha, achieving this human form of life. Labdha sudur labhamidang bahu sambhavanti. This life, which is very meaningful, purposeful, comes with an inconceivable opportunity. But at the same time, it is unpredictable. There is no way of knowing when we may die. Anittam, temporary. So you got an inconceivable opportunity, inconceivable good fortune, but there is no guarantee for how long this fortune will last. So what should be done? Must accept it immediately. And what is that we have to accept immediately? Is to surrender unto Lord, surrender unto Krishna, and develop loving relationship with Him. And as a result of that loving relationship, what will happen? Not only all your material distresses, material difficulties will disappear, but you'll be submerged in an ocean of joy. So as you said, peace, no, peace is not the ultimate goal of life. Anandam is the ultimate goal of life. Joy. Joy is way beyond peace. When you are alone, you may be peaceful. But when you want to enjoy, you want to invite all your relatives and friends. Isn't it? So what do you prefer? To be alone or to be surrounded by your relatives and friends? To enjoy, right? So that joy is the ultimate goal. And that ultimate joy can be experienced only when we develop our loving relationship with Krishna. So you got the human form of life and you have come to the right place, Radha Gopinath temple. So take full advantage of it. Thank you. Is there any other question? Yes. Pass the mic to...
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Quite often devotees misquote Saraswati ji as Lord Brahma's wife, which in my understanding is his daughter, and Gayatri Devi is his wife. So would you please actually clarify this for my education?
Yeah, same personality. Saraswati is both are actually Brahma's wife. The same personality in that way. Saraswati is Bhagdevi, the goddess of, like you can say, Saraswati in that way is Gayatri's expansion. Same personality. Okay,
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandat Pranam. Like, we have volumes of books written by Prabhupada, like Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrit, and we have books like Prabhupada Lilamrit, or books written by Prabhupada disciple on Prabhupada Lilamrit. We find very interesting to read like books on Prabhupada Lilamrita or like Prabhupada pastimes. But we find difficult to understand Bhagavatam or like philosophical books. So should we concentrate on reading books on Prabhupada Lilamrita because it's very interesting and very like we feel like very much
Live. There are two Bhagavats. Grantha Bhagavat and Person Bhagavat. Right? So reading about the Person Bhagavat is also Bhagavatam. So, like reading Prabhupada Lilamrita or Radhanath Maharaj's journey home is not different. But the thing is, for Bhagavatam, you have to attend the class. But the other books, you can read on your own. It will be easier to understand. Because it is their life story or their activities are giving the clarification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? After Bhagavat is coming Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why Chaitanya Charitamrita is so important? Because Chaitanya Charitamrita is revealing the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is clarification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. So, in your leisurely time, you can read other books, but Nittang Bhagavata Sevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, you come to the temple and listen to the devotees explaining the verses and Srila Prabhupada's purports to the verses. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll end with a little kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.